This podcast is for entertainment purposes only and does not substitute for professional medical advice. Please seek a medical professional or healthcare provider if you're seeking any medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Thanks, everyone.
Hey everyone, happy holidays. I just wanted to pop in here real quick just to let you guys know that the next two Tuesdays, instead of brand new episodes like we typically do every Tuesday, we're going to be releasing some Patreon episodes to kind of give you guys a glimpse of what we offer in our Patreon episodes, which are completely new and completely different full episodes that we have there. And we're almost at 70 of them. So to give ourselves a little bit of a breather and to be able to catch up and spend time with all our family and our friends during the next 2 weeks in the holiday season, we decided to give you guys this little tidbit, this little sneak peek about what we have to offer there on Patreon with these next two episodes that we'll be releasing. We hope you enjoy them. We love these. They're, of course, more unhinged than normal because their Patreon episodes, and we hope you have a wonderful holiday season. If you want to check out all the other episodes that we have available exclusively on Patreon, go to patreon.com/funnymedicinepodcast, and you'll have full access to all of those episodes and a lot more. So thank you guys for tuning in. Of course, we really, really appreciate you guys, and we're so thankful for the year you all have given us, truly.
Cheers.
We deserve this. We started later than we thought. And then two, we started even later than that because we've just been
venting.
ADHD venting. We started with one story with you, then we jumped into mine, and then we went back to yours, and then another tangent one, and then that reminded us of another thing that happened.
Anyways, we are here.
Cheers.
And we both deserve alcohol, mm-hmm. And it's 11, a little later. It's almost 12, but.
Yeah, no, I'm telling you, we've been like ADHD tangenting, like, you know, it's better that this happened before.
I know.
Because of now, this episode would have probably been like 3 hours long. So for the sake of you all, we did it beforehand.
All right. So we are talking about holiday travel.
Because it's the holiday season.
Yes. And then a complication associated when you travel too much. Okay. Or sometimes not even that much. It just
happens. Yeah, it could just happen. It all depends on like your health, all those things, which we will talk about.
Yes.
Yes.
So today we're going to be talking about?
Oh, okay. Holiday travel and DVT, which is deep vein thrombosis, which causes what you've heard of, like those blood clots, those scary blood clots that kind of come out of nowhere.
When you're sitting for too long.
Yeah. And you're like, oh my God, how did that happen? Yeah. And it's just like, okay, so let's talk about that because it could be pretty freaking scary. Like, you
can be with stories. Really scary. Like, it could be a pretty big complication.
Yeah. And again, like a lot of the times when I've heard and I've known people that this has happened to, they're most of the time they're like, how did this happen? I had no warning. Uh-huh. I don't understand. I'm a healthy individual. Blah, 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 blah. And then blood clot.
Oh, yeah.
Blood clot. Blood clot. Like, what?
No, it's anyway. So crazy.
So let's get into it, though.
Okay. And so, introduction. You can cut that out.
I just read. This is going to be great. These episodes are going to be fantastic. I can already see it.
Wow.
This is Patreon.
I know.
This is what you get, patrons. You know, you get us unhinged.
Raw.
Just going through it.
Okay. So, all right. DVT, or deep vein thrombosis. And I'm not going to say deep vein thrombosis.
DVT.
The whole time. I'm just going to say DVT.
Yeah.
So it's a serious medical condition that tends to get attention during the holiday season when people spend really long hours traveling. Specifically, when you're kind of sitting down for a really long time. AKA a flight, maybe a train ride, car, or something like that.
Yeah.
So whether you squeezed into an economy seat, okay, an economy seat trip to across the country,
yeah,
or if you're stuck in traffic.
Oh my God, that was another tangent that we took. This woman right here took 3 hours to get like from home. I mean, from office to like. Holiday yeah. party?
To a holiday party. 3 hours.
3 hours.
It was
in the same metropolitan like place. We're not talking about like Miami to Orlando. Yeah. No.
It was Art Basel. So I understand that traffic was worse than usual. But just yesterday, I was in the car for 2 hours. So, and there was nothing. Nothing.
And that was
just
her
a regular Friday afternoon.
Your usual commute.
My usual commute.
Commute. Oh, thank you to you TikTokers out there. You guys are like the sweetest.
What?
I had to show it to you and put it on our tangent. I forgot.
Okay, this comment from our TikTok might just explain Jill's problem with some words. Secretly British.
Wait, maybe she's just secretly British.
I don't know, but
they're like trying to figure it out.
I don't even know.
We've been trying to like keep track of like the
yeah I got the stuff. Notebook there yeah
because we have like some merch planned out
yeah it's something. If it's not merch, it's like a game like bingo or something,
bingo,
you know,
something.
Yeah, something's gonna happen. But commute,
yes, commute. So either you're on a long flight or in a really long commute, okay, the risk of DVT can pretty much increase a lot, okay, yeah. So it's especially concerning for those juggling holiday stress, last minute travel plans, and family obligations. So we're going to dive a little bit into what DVT is, why it happens,
yeah,
especially during travel, like what's that connection and how you can prevent it from becoming a holiday spoiler. Why did I do this? Bing. Because it's that kind of day.
All right, continue, because this is what is DVT. No, you take that.
Okay. All right. So DVT occurs when a blood clot, we also use the term thrombus. Okay. So a thrombus forms in a deep vein. Okay. So deep veins tend to be a little bit bigger. They're not those superficial ones that you see like on the surface. So a thrombus is going to accumulate or create itself in a deep vein, typically in the legs. Okay. The reason why it's in the legs, it can happen anywhere. You can have a thrombus anywhere, but a DVT to a deep vein thrombosis is more common in the legs because that's where a lot of our blood pulls, right, because of gravity. And in severe cases, it can lead to complications like a PE, which is called a pulmonary embolism. So that's basically when a thrombus is kind of just kind of sitting there creating itself, and then it dislodges in the vein, and then it goes into your circulatory system, and usually all veins end up back into the heart and lungs, which is why you can have a pulmonary embolism. An emboli is basically just a thrombus that dislodged itself. Okay.
So a clot.
A clot. So like it's a clot, yeah. But an emboli is like when it moved.
Oh, okay. Okay. So that's a different terminology.
Mobile. Yeah. It became mobile.
Understood.
So let me see where I'm at. Sorry. So a PE happens when a part of the clot breaks off, travels through the bloodstream, blocks blood flow into the lungs, and then it can actually lead to a really life-threatening condition.
And it's quick, too.
It is very quick.
Yeah.
It's very quick because you don't know. Some people have, and we'll talk about that, some people have signs and symptoms of DVT, not when it hasn't dislodged yet. So mm-hmm. That's why some doctors, when they see your legs are swollen, red, hot, very painful, we're kind of very like, hey, okay, let's get this checked out, because if this is a DVT, then we need to put you on some sort of treatment, right? Mm-hmm. So anticoagulant treatment in order for it not to end up as an emboli.
Yeah. And it's very life-threatening, very quick, very scary, like pulmonary embolisms.
Exactly. Then a DVT doesn't always cause symptoms, so making it kind of sneaky, silent health risk that deserves a lot more awareness, especially around peak travel season.
Absolutely. And that's why we're doing it.
Yeah. All right. So like usual, or as per usual, Jill's going to talk about the history of a DVT.
I feel like I need...
Oh,
like,
why is that moving?
You know. Oh, because of the rug.
Okay.
There we go. My break.
What's going on here? It's moving.
When we get to the new house, we're going to have a new setup, by the way. I have ideas, I have visions. We're going to have a nice setup, lighting, coziness, whole thing.
I want to see your thinking.
I need, you know, that you just gave me an idea. I need to do like a Pinterest board that we could share, and then we could like bounce these ideas off of each other.
Maybe we could do like a little day of like a retreat and then just like brainstorm with some margaritas next to
Cool. Can we fucking do that like yesterday?
Yeah.
please.
Like 6 days ago.
Exactly. Can we please carve that out at the moment?
Yeah. We deserve it. Our podcast, we've been going on almost 2 years. We're only 6 months out. So a year and a half. And we haven't had like a retreat.
No, I know. We definitely should do that. Anyway, I feel like I need like a ruler for this moment here now. Like every time I go to history.
History lesson.
Because I have
with glasses.
Oh, I do have glasses. I have the Meta glasses. I use them in when we went this weekend to Disney. Super fucking good. Mm-hmm. Can't wait till we go to Disney together so I can use it again. So I have this. We've never even used it. Why do I have it? I literally have it here and then I have never used it. And we should like.
All right. Well, ready?
There's nothing even written on it.
It's okay. History. Take it.
You know that? That's what I should do. I should just write on that history. Yeah, exactly. With history. A ruler. Let's just do that. Anyway, so history. History of DBT, because I like to find out where, how.
I like this.
What happens.
I honestly learned so much from this because in medical school, like we do not. Yes, we have history here and there, but we don't have time.
Yeah,
we don't have time.
I didn't
we just need to know what it is, what, why it happens,
yeah.
How we fix it,
exactly.
Can we fix it?
Exactly. You guys don't have time for that. But for me, like, it kind of explains, like, how did this, like,
come about? Yeah.
Yeah, like, how did we get to this reasoning? All right, so anyway. So the history of DBT. So it's definitely not a modern problem, okay? So historically, it was referred to as milk leg, unquotes, for those of you listening. Kind of disgusting, but okay, we'll go with it. So in postpartum women, due to its association with immobility after childbirth. So early medical practitioners noticed that blood clots often formed in women confined to bed after giving birth, which unfortunately does happen due to whatever.
And we still, till this day, women, after they give birth, they have these kind of like exactly these compression wraps that they put on your lower legs. And every so often they squeeze and they relax and they squeeze and they relax. And that's to promote blood flow. So
to try to prevent this from happening.
Yeah.
Then by the 20th century, advancements in medicine linked prolonged immobility during hospitalization or even wartime to an increased risk of blood clots. So in the 70s, scientists began to study the relationship between air travel and DBT. The term economy class syndrome. You know, that was somebody that did not travel.
Economy.
Yeah. Emerged.
Economy class syndrome. Wow. Peasant syndrome.
In other words.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, ugh.
Which has nothing to do with economy class, by the way.
Nothing.
It has nothing to do with that.
Nothing. But sure. I mean, you could get it in first class.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe because first class has like more space.
Yeah, then you could lift up or whatever. Or but come on, bro.
Wow. Jerk. Whoever can
judgy. Let's judge.
Judgy jerk.
So highlighting the cramped seating and limited movement associated with long flights. But that's like any long flight. Even if you're in first class, you're confined to your seat. You're not walking around socializing.
Exactly.
You know, unless you're in one of those like planes like the Emirates.
Yeah.
That they even have like a bar and then you have like a whole cabin.
Have, like, a bed.
Exactly. They have a whole ass cabin in there.
I mean, the double-decker airplanes that you can go sit at a bar too.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you're in that situation, but whatever. Anyway, we're talking about peasants.
Peasantry. We don't know what that is.
Anyway, so although misleading, DBTs can occur in any class of travel, as we were saying. The name stuck and has been a wake-up call for travelers worldwide in any sort of traveling situation, regardless of its class.
Yeah. And mode of travel.
All right.
All right, so what are some causes of DBTs? So it can have a lot of combining factors to it. So we're going to kind of try to break it up as best as possible. So I think the most common association with DBT is if you're going to be immobile for a really long time.
Okay? Yeah.
So sitting still for extended periods of time. So that's going to slow down your blood flow, particularly in the legs. Mm-hmm. When blood flow is kind of sluggish, not moving, it gives the blood time to clot. Okay. So you need to have running blood all the time, right?
It's like traffic.
Exactly. So once you have a traffic jam, everyone just, you know, kind of stays there,
happened to you yesterday.
Exactly. And then, you know, that causes problems. But anyways, yeah, so a clot can form, okay? And then that's why we don't want what we call stasis. We want continuous flow. You can also have injury to the actual wall of the veins. So this is going to be like if you suffer from different types of diseases, or if you had like surgery, or if you had a trauma, prolonged pressure on the veins, tight seating can also make it more prone to clotting, right? Because if you have something that you're wearing that's like very tight, then you're also going to be kind of cutting off that circulation. You can have something that's also called a hypercoagulable state. There's also like certain medical conditions that you can just be more prone to creating a blood clot. That could be genetic predispositions. That could be cancer, pregnancy, inherited disorders like thrombophilias. So not only is it just you want to keep you like moving, it's not just that. You can also have something that you are already at risk for.
Right. And some of these things you didn't even know.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of people that they present with a DVT and they go to the doctor. And after some of like a workup with a hematologist, then they find out that they have a genetic disorder, a genetic predisposition. And then the other one is dehydration. If you are not hydrated correctly, then you are going to have a more viscous type of blood. So slower. Yeah, it's higher viscosity. So not drinking enough fluids, especially on a long trip, can really thicken the blood and then make clots more easy.
Which could definitely happen because you know that when you're sitting there, like you don't even think about being thirsty. So it's like you forget.
Yeah, or like me, that you're ordering some alcohol on the
Just kidding. Cheers.
Yeah, I know. I try not to, but sometimes it's necessary.
Sometimes it's necessary.
Another one is lifestyle factors. So if you're a smoker, you're already at risk for creating a clot. If you are obese, you're already at risk. Prolonged use of oral contraceptives or hormone replacement therapy can also elevate a DVT risk. That's why sometimes if someone has a DVT history, you actually can't be placed on certain hormonal therapies because you already have that risk factor. And then age and medical history. Older adults are more likely to have a history of blood clots and varicose veins. They are more susceptible to have that.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
All right, so some symptoms. And we're going to just focus on the most common symptoms that are known out there for DVT. Swelling in one leg. We're not talking about like bilateral swelling. It's just like that one leg that there's a little bit more swollen than the other one. Sometimes, though, it could happen in both. But it's typically one-sided, right? So then there's pain or cramping in the calf or like the thigh, often described as like this deep aching discomfort.
It's pretty painful.
Yeah. And I mean, think about it. It's a clot in like a vein in there, you know, and then you got muscle around that. You got nerves around that. So it's got to be painful.
Yeah, it's very sensitive. There was actually a physical exam that we used to do. And there's some physicians that do it. Some others don't because I feel like I was during my training, I was kind of in that in between that people still used to do it, but then they were kind of recommending against it.
Okay.
So there was a certain movement that you would do that it was hyper.
I remember that.
Hyperextend. Okay, you would hyperextend the ankle. And then if someone elicited a really like big pain, then that was a positive sign. But people actually stopped doing that test because
it could dislodge it.
It could dislodge it. Exactly.
That makes sense. Yeah. So it's kind of, okay, I could see that. All right. So you could also have red or discolored skin over that affected area, and then that sensation of warmth in that leg that's a little bit, you know, more inflamed. So in some cases, DVT is silent, though. Like, you may not experience any of this, showing no symptoms until it causes complications like pulmonary embolism. This is why prevention and awareness are vital, especially during prolonged travel. So if you feel that you have one of these situations, you're obese, you're taking oral contraceptives, you're pregnant, any of these things that may put you a little bit more at risk, they do sell like compression socks and stuff, or just move around your feet.
Yeah.
You know, even in your own seat, you know, try your best, you know.
I wear compression socks on in time. I'm not wearing them right now, but like for work, I wear them.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, for pregnant women, they recommend compression socks a lot.
Yeah.
A lot. So
I did not wear them. I didn't have a lot of swelling.
I didn't, thankfully. Yeah. I didn't either, thankfully. But I did walk a lot, even while I was pregnant.
I think of swelling in pregnancy, and the only picture that comes to my brain is Kim Kardashian.
I was waiting for you to say it.
Yeah. When it's freaking heels, and it's like the skin's like over the heel.
I'm like, woman, be barefoot at that point. Yeah. Like, this does not look good.
I looked at that and I said, This is painful.
Well, they had to cut that shoe off of her shirt.
Sure. I'm sure, like, how you can't slip that foot out of here. Yeah, she couldn't get it
There's
off
no
her
way.
Shirt.
There's no way. I mean, it's not like she
and
needs
her
shoe
with a straight face. I prayed for her.
You know that she, like, you know, they should give her an Oscar for that, like,
for that
acting role.
Exactly.
Because you know that inside of herself, the pain.
Yeah.
Because she's pregnant, so she can't really be on pain, you know, pain meds or anything like that, you know?
I don't know, man.
That's a lot. That's something I will not subscribe for.
Yeah.
No, I don't think I ever wore a heel when I was pregnant.
Yeah, no.
And I didn't even have, I didn't even have a bad pregnancy. And I never even, I was like, no.
Yeah. All right. So why do DVTs happen during long trips? Okay. So I think you're kind of going to get the gist of things about a long trip, prolonged sitting, mm-hmm. whether you're in a car or plane, a train, being seated for hours restricts that blood flow in the legs, compression of the veins in a tight seating can exacerbate this. Cramped quarters, aka a car, a plane, a train,
all those things.
Limited leg reduces your ability to stretch or move and also increases venous pressure. Okay.
Which is the only time that I feel any sort of,
what is it that you have?
The
claustrophobia.
Yeah. When if I can't stretch and I feel like I really need to stretch and I can't stretch at that time, I'm like, I need to stretch.
Oh, yeah, I know.
That's the word. That's the only time that I do
I
feel
can't
it.
Do it. Thank God my claustrophobia has gotten really, really like under control. But I think it's because my anxiety through the years has gotten better. Mm. But before,
You told me.
I would go to the airport and I already started having like chest pressure
and
stuff
of course
like
that was the time that you were traveling the most
and that was the time that I was traveling the most because I was like back and forth from Jersey to here nope I couldn't do it there was multiple times where I thought I was gonna have to get off the plane but I never had that before that's the thing that was like crazy to me I never had that before so and even then at the airport I think it's almost like a little bit of like a PTSD at the airport like TSA getting to the gate all that stuff I get like a little bit
everybody does, though.
Nervous. Yeah. But once I'm on the plane, I'm okay.
No. It's like the TikTok of like, get your electronics and everything else. Get it. Take off your jacket.
Take it off.
Naked.
Literally, just get stripped down naked. Put this into a box. No. This, that. Oh, you're
going to take off your
sweater. Someone else tells me, no, that's only under the age of 13. And I'm like, okay.
You're like with Nora. Fuck me.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just like, where do I put the child in the trip? Do you want me to put her on the thing, on the little what is that called, the conveyor belt? Do you need to check her too?
I get it.
Remember when we traveled
with Newman from Grenada to here and to and from. Bro, there was one time that they made Newman go ahead of us.
Uh-huh.
Okay, through the person thing.
Oh,
and I'm
okay,
like,
okay.
Newman is my oldest dog and he is anxiety personified.
Personified, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. He is just an anxious ball, okay? And he looks like a fox. So everybody's always like really confused about him. Anyway. Nobody had crossed to the other side. So it was just TSA agent, the thing, and then
And
Newman's like, you want me to do what? And he's like, oh, yeah, he needs to cross through that alone without you. All the trips we've taken with this dog to New York and everywhere and all the other ones from Grenada to Miami, never, ever has anyone told me that. They're just like, carry him and then we do the little paw, little thingy.
Yeah.
This time, no, this guy wanted to be an ass and be like, no, he needs to cross this alone. I'm like, God.
Didn't do it?
This is the moment here.
Yeah.
Prove yourself that you are with me at this moment right now, because I don't know what could happen right now. He could just go, woo, and we're like, fuck. Anyway, so or he could just not move.
Yeah, he could just bite someone.
He could like either run and disappear or not move. And then we're here like, so I'm like, okay, Newman, go.
Go.
Please go. And he finally did. He went through. This is a dog that's scared of bikes.
Yeah.
He sees a bike and he's like, what the fuck is that? Yeah. So imagine him going through this thing. He's there like with his tail.
And this is an island dog.
His tail between his legs. Like, and then he's there like,
oh my
God. And I'm just, keep going. And he finally made it to the other side. I'm like, and I'm here like, zip. I'm like, carried in. I'm like,
That's it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Can we go?
And then they still did the little paw thing on him. I was like, oh my
fucking
God.
Airports, bro. Fucking airports.
This episode's great. Anyway.
Holiday travel with dogs.
Oh, that's 10 out of 10. Do not recommend.
All right. So also lower cabin pressure and humidity on flights, reduced oxygen levels and low cabin humidity can also thicken the blood to make it more viscous and then make the veins more susceptible to clot formation. And then, like we already said, dehydration. Travelers often skip drinking enough water, consume alcohol and caffeine.
All the things.
You could not catch me in the airport without either a drink or caffeine.
Probably both.
Yeah, exactly.
As you're doing right now.
As I'm...
She is not doing what she's preaching right now.
I drank some water before I got here.
We're not in a cabin. We're not traveling right now. You know.
I have room to stretch.
Yeah. We're you know, it's a different situation.
Yeah. So then, interestingly, studies show that the risk isn't limited to just air travel. Long road trips and bus rides pose a similar risk. So it doesn't really matter the mode of transportation. It's just what you're doing.
Exactly. Yeah. 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 All right. So what's the prevalence? Like how
common is it?
How common is this? It's more common than many realize. Annually, there's 1 in 1,000 people that develop DVT.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of us out there. 1 in 1,000? Mm-hmm. Like, go to an airport, that's several people, you know, all at once. So with higher rates happening in older adults and those with underlying risk factors, like we had mentioned before. So for travelers with the risk of DVT increases significantly on flights lasting over 4 hours. So 4 hours is kind of like that key. But it's not exclusive to air travel. The WHO, so World Health Organization, reports that 1-2% of travelers on long-haul flights may develop a clot.
Guys, 1-2%.
That's scary. That's scary.
If you would say 100 people, two of them would get a DVT. What?
That's scary. For long-haul flights. So, like, if you're doing, like, cross-country, like, anything over 4 hours, I think it would be considered long-haul. That's a lot.
All right. So how can we prevent these things? Okay. Drink your water. Okay. So drink plenty of water. Avoid alcohol and caffeine. I'm just kidding. Drink your water. Okay. And then try to stay hydrated. Okay. Mm-hmm. Move frequently. Stand up. Stretch. Walk around every hour if possible. That's actually something very recommended, especially if you're doing really long trips.
Yeah.
So, you know, a trip that's like more than 4 to 5 hours, then maybe you can just get up, go to the bathroom, kind of walk around, stretch your legs, and then sit back down. Wear compression stockings. These like kind of like snug fit socks improve circulation and reduce the swelling. They're especially helpful for high risk individuals. Dress comfortably. This is my thing about I cannot, when I see someone in the airport with heels, I'm just...
You see that pretty often here in Miami. Particularly in Miami.
I saw someone at Disney with heels.
Oh, I've seen that too. I don't understand.
It pisses me off.
You're a psychopath. You have dead bodies in the trunk. You know?
I just look at them and I'm like,
there's something wrong with you. This is not happening.
What is going on here?
Oh, no. And they're like, of course, they're the ones that, you know, like the whole thing. But like, I'm like, you're clearly not a parent.
Yeah. And clearly.
Clearly not a parent because there is no way.
I don't have to be a parent to go to Disney in heels.
I've never did.
That's crazy.
We did Horror Nights.
Dying. We after Disney.
Yes, we did Horror Nights. Yeah. Not a single heel in
Not
sight.
Not a single heel in sight. And we were young. We could do it.
We were in our early 20s.
We were in our early
20s. That was the time.
We could do it. But we didn't. That's crazy.
It's uncalled for.
Okay, anyways, we're very sore, very emotional about that. All right, so dress comfortably.
But before you move on, remember when plane travel first came out? Like, I'm talking about Pan Am, whatever.
Everyone was like, ooh.
The suits and the whole thing. I mean.
But I also feel like air travel probably wasn't even that long.
I don't know. I really don't know.
Before, there used to not be a TSA thing. Before,
that too.
You
that
could
too.
Go to the it airport like, here and go to your gate.
That's it. Yeah. Here I am. That's it. Which is
bonkers. Like a train.
Even, exactly.
And even train stations now have.
No, of course. Like, everything now. Like Disney, everything now, you know. But like, yeah, you're right. You would just go. That's it.
Yeah. Mike was telling me that I never experienced smut, but I used to like have memories when he was a kid to go to the airports with his uncles and aunts and stuff. And they would have even like a buffet there for people to have. Like,
and Mike
breakfast.
Is not even that much older than
you. No, he's not. So.
Yeah, Mike is what? How old is Mike?
43.
Okay, yeah, definitely not. I work 35, yeah. So
yeah,
damn, things have changed fast. Like,
yeah,
Jesus, buffets and everything. Mm-hmm. That's the life in Pan Am. Like, they have the old, which I love, like those old vintage posters. Those
vintage posters, yeah.
And it's like they're coming around with this massive plate of deliciousness, yeah. And they're there, and they're just like, Pan Am.
Yeah, like, this is the way.
You know, yeah. And it's just like, yeah, of course I would dress up for that.
Let's be real.
For that,
Emirates,
I would dress up.
Flying Emirates, those yeah. girls, those are like the flight attendants of the flight attendants.
They are models.
They are models?
Yeah, yeah.
If you do not fit a certain look, you cannot. And I've actually seen videos of people that are flight attendants,
uh-huh.
And they say that to become Emirates flight attendant,
it's
crazy.
I can't even. Like, they are set for life. I feel like that's like the top of the top in that field.
Yeah.
Like, once you got there, like, you did it. Yeah, like, exactly. Type of thing. You know?
You are the flight attendants of a flight attendant.
Like, you will always have a job when you want it. Yeah, exactly. Because that's on your resume now. It's like, Tell me. And pay me.
Yeah, exactly. Pay me. Then you know if someone's been a flight attendant from Emirates, you're like, all right, you know that she's hot.
She knows what she's doing.
Male?
I don't know. On TikTok, I've only seen female.
Female, yeah, I don't know. Okay, yeah, there might be.
Again,
I'm not saying that there's not. But
again, it's Emirates. It's different. They abide by different rules.
That's true.
I'm not going to say more than that because yeah. This is not a political show.
Yeah, exactly.
But they're based somewhere else.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, let's get back to the things that we could do to avoid DVT. Yeah, I love it. So dress comfortably, wear loose fitting clothes that don't constrict your blood flow. Actually, this is like super important, not for DVT, but also there are syndromes that you have where your leg can actually lose its sensation on part of it when you are sitting down too long with super tight jeans or super tight pants.
But the thing is, okay, so then this kind of like contradicts my thinking, and like they're telling you to wear like the compression socks, but then to dress comfortably. So what's the
no compression socks is only so that it can keep the circulation kind of going and not have like swelling.
Okay. Yeah. But this is like for the rest of your body.
Okay. And then elevate your legs. Okay, so if you're able to rest your legs on an elevated surface, AKA not economy class syndrome.
Emirates.
Okay.
Like first class yeah. Emirates.
Where you can lay down, put your leg up and all that
full
stuff.
Bed.
Yeah, exactly. And well, by all means, elevate those legs, girl.
Exactly. Or if you have a private plane, you know, you're fine. Yeah, this doesn't apply to you there.
Exactly. And then also you can consider medications. Maybe if you're like a really high risk individual or you've had like a really significant history of DVTs or blood clots in general.
Right.
But maybe you can benefit from just like a single dose of an anticoagulant or a blood thinner. All right. So, and then travel mindfully. So plan breaks on the road trips to stretch and walk, and on flights, get up and maybe get an aisle seat so you have more access to kind of walk around.
Exactly. Treatment and cure. So if DVT is suspected, seek immediate medical help. Okay. Doctors.
Seek immediate medical help.
Immediately.
Do not go on TikTok.
Don't pass go.
Do not go Google.
No. Exactly. Don't look at WebMD because WebMD will tell you you're dead at that point. It's not like you're dying. No, you're dead.
Come on.
Don't do that. Anyway, doctors typically confirm the diagnosis through ultrasound imaging. So they immediately look at that leg. Maybe it's like has that reddish, like swollen that we had talked about. Maybe it doesn't. But either way, if there's like some sort of inkling to it, they're going to go ahead and try to find it, you know? And then, or a D-dimer blood test. So then what treatments do you do then right after that? So it's anticoagulants, like she had mentioned. So these are blood thinners, right? And these prevent clots from growing, and they reduce the risk of new clots forming too, because you already have one, let's not form more. So common examples include warfarin and direct anticoagulants. Then, like we keep saying, this is kind of like the hero of DBT right now. Compression stockings.
Woo!
Exactly.
We're going to make merch.
Right? Oh my God.
Ideas.
Sponsors out there are open.
We're open.
Let's collab. Anyway, so these reduce swelling and prevent the post-thrombotic syndromes, which is a complication of DVT that can cause chronic pain and swelling. And then you have thrombolysis. Did I say that right?
Thrombolysis.
Yeah, there we go. I'm just probably British in some other life. Thank you, TikTok. And in severe cases, clot-busting medications or a catheter-based procedure may be used to dissolve that clot. And surgery. Rarely, surgical removal of the clot, thrombolectomy.
Thrombolectomy. Mm-hmm.
is performed in life.
Sorry, not thrombectomy. Thrombectomy.
Thrombectomy.
Yeah. I was like, thrombectomy sounds wrong. Thrombectomy. Yeah.
If it's coming from me, something I've never said before, but I've written it.
Yeah.
It's going to be wrong. It's going to be wrong. It's performed in life-threatening cases. And that's the thing. Like, she has to tell these patients, she has to tell patients, hey, this is what you have. This is the medication you got to take. And there are all these very complex words. I just write them. I read it and I write it and I put it here. And then I get presented them here to talk to you guys about it. And then I'm like, fuck. So yeah, that's just how it goes. Anyway, so recovery often involves lifestyle adjustments, such as increased physical activity, weight management, and possibly long-term anticoagulation therapy for recurring cases. So yeah, honestly, we kind of always harp on this, but exercise is key.
I know. Literally, yeah, in every episode, we have at least one moment where we say, exercise, eat right, drink water.
Because it's true.
It's true. It's like the base of the pyramid.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
If you're an active, already active individual, like, you have less, you already have less of a risk. So, yeah.
All right. So, air travel versus other modes. Is there a difference?
Yeah.
Maybe sometimes. But while DVT can occur on any type of long-distance travel, air travel is often associated with the higher risk compared to other modes of transportation. I think it's also because of, like, the lack of oxygen and all that stuff.
And the pressure.
The pressure, exactly.
You can't deny that there is a difference in pressure.
Exactly. So white flights pose a higher risk. One, that immobility that we already talked about. Airplane seats typically offer way less leg room and movement space compared to cars or trains, because in cars or trains, you can kind of lay down.
Yeah.
And you can kind of, like, switch your position up a little bit.
You can move the seat more. Exactly. You know, more leg room.
No, every single time that I press that thing to, like, incline my seat and it's just like, meep, I'm just like, wow. Like,
this is useless.
This is useless, exactly. Made absolutely no difference.
Yeah, like nothing.
Yeah. Anyway. And then so a lower air pressure in the cabin may affect the blood flow and increase that risk of a clot formation and then also dehydration. Mm-hmm. The dry air in airplanes can lead to a lot more of a significant dehydration that can thicken blood and increase its clotting risk.
Yeah.
And then car travel risks, while generally considered a lower risk than air travel, long car rides can also still pose a threat because of everything that we just talked about. You need to do frequent stops, okay? Car travelers have the advantage of being able to stop and walk around more easily. You have more leg room. Cars often provide more space to move around, stretch legs compared to airplanes. And then you also have those people that slap their legs onto that dashboard.
Don't do that.
I've seen a lot of crazy shit.
Well, it kind of went viral on our threads. If you look at the x-ray of what happens in that accident, bad.
Yeah.
Bad, bad, bad. Do not put your legs up there. Yeah. Come below.
And then duration. So very long car trips without brakes can also still cause DVT. Train and buses, these modes of transportation fall somewhere kind of like in between. But again, that movement, passengers can usually walk around more frequently. Duration, long distance train and bus trips can also still pose a significant risk. And then the comparative risk, a study found that risk of DVT was about 2 to 4 times higher in air travelers compared to non-air travelers. So for other modes of travel, the risk is there. It increases, but it was not statistically significant compared to air travel.
Mm-hmm. All right. And then just some interesting tidbits about it, right? As she had mentioned, DVT is not just for the legs. Like, it could happen other places in the body, such as the arms, the pelvis, or even, like, veins in the abdomen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not scary. Super. There is a risk of post-travel DVT. It kind of remains elevated for weeks after a long trip. So staying active and hydrated post-travel is also very, very important. And then there's seasonal peaks of actual DVT. Cases often spike during the holidays due to increased travel.
Yep. Yeah. So DVT can sound really scary. Yep. And obviously it could be pretty threatening.
Yeah. Yeah.
But as long as you kind of are taking these precautions, or if you feel like you're a person that maybe has a risk, you can always just talk to your doctor and see if you're at risk or not. And then I'm sure that they're able to give you some sort of guidance. Mm. But basically move around, stay hydrated, don't wear tight clothing.
Except compression socks.
Except for compression socks, yeah. Exactly. And
yeah,
you might be able to avoid something that you don't want to happen.
Yeah. And I know it's the holidays. It's hard to stay active and, like, exercise or whatever. But
yeah,
that doesn't mean you got to go to a gym or anything like that. Like, you could just take a walk, take something like that. Stay a little bit active, you know, not try not to be super stagnant.
Yeah.
And that will help.
Yeah.
That's on form. Anyway, so thank you guys for tuning in. This was a little bit of an unhinged episode, but that's what you got for Patreon.
Oh, that's just us. I mean, yeah. What else would you expect?
Exactly. Anyway.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for tuning into our episode.
And we'll see you on the next one.
Bye. Bye.
Like, comment, review us on all streaming platforms, Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, etc.
Check us out on Instagram and TikTok at Funny Medicine Podcast. Our Gmail is funnymedicine305@gmail.com. And remember, we are not diagnosing you.
Definitely not. Just funny stuff.
See you later, guys.